Bridge Church VA online. To listen to previous messages, join a small group, or support this ministry financially, you can do so at thebridgechurchva.com. We pray you enjoyed this week's message and hope to see you soon.
Pray about that, and then next Sunday, we're going to bring what God has given us and what God put on our hearts to give. With that being said, let's go ahead and dive right into part six of this series, Making Change. And if you've missed any part of this series, you can go online to our website. You can listen to it there. You can also check it out on our app. If you don't already have our app, you can go to the App Store, iTunes, or Google Play, whatever you have, and you can download the Bridge Church app from there, and you can kind of get caught up on all the messages from this series on the app as well. But in this series, we've been talking about how through our generosity, God changes the lives of people. One of the things that was so powerful about this past Thursday, as we were serving people in our community who were in need and people who didn't have anywhere to go for Thanksgiving and people who were hungry or whatever the case may be, one of the most powerful things about it was we had just opportunities to build relationships with people and to connect with people and to love on people and just to talk with people. And so many people there were just grateful that we were there to help serve. And a lot of times, I think we can kind of gloss over the fact that our generosity, no matter big or small, as long as it's an equal sacrifice, as long as it is our best, that our generosity doesn't just meet the needs of people right now, but it shapes lives forever. Like, it'd be awesome to hear stories of life change that come out of the generosity that you guys extended this past Thursday by serving people Thanksgiving lunches and Thanksgiving breakfasts, and other people were serving Thanksgiving dinners. It'd be awesome to hear the stories of life change that come out of that. One lady in particular that we had the opportunity to serve, we asked them before we left, like, hey, how can we pray for you? How can we encourage you? And what things can we just continue to keep before the Lord and just come into agreement with? And one lady was talking about how she had been kind of praying and saving money to hopefully be able to get her own living space because she didn't have her own living space, and she was just praying for breakthrough and just praying for financial blessing that God would open up doors. And she said that it looked like some things were starting to happen, and so we were like, man, definitely, we're going to come alongside of you and pray. And there was another lady who was there at the table, and we asked how we could pray for her, and she was saying, can you just pray for peace with everything that's going on in my life? And so I just wonder, like, how many people maybe within the past few weeks have even extended the opportunity to do something as simple as praying for them. Like, how many people just walked up to them and say, hey, how can I pray for you? I don't want anything from you. I want something for you. And a lot of times we think that generosity means that we have to, you know, write some big check. Generosity means that we have to sell our house. It's not necessarily about that. Generosity could be something as simple and as small as just taking the time to reach out to somebody and say, hey, how can I pray for you? Like, seriously. Like, you say, like, I don't have a whole lot, Pastor, and, you know, I don't have a whole lot of time, but you can pray. Right? Amen, somebody? Amen? Y'all gonna talk to me this morning? Amen? Like, we can do that. Matter of fact, Jesus calls us to pray. And so I think a lot of times, man, we kind of minimalize the things that are so easily at our disposal, and we forget that God has put us here to make a difference. Like, it's put us here to make an impact, and that's what I'm going to talk about today. I want to talk about, if you're taking notes, I want to preach from a topic, making your life count. Making your life count. Because it doesn't matter how much you have. It doesn't matter the accomplishments that you have. It does not matter how smart you are and how astute you are if your life, at the end of it, didn't count for it. I heard one person say that the two most important days in your life was the day that you were born and the day that you realized you were born. And, you know, me being a theologian, I add to that, I would say there's three things. The day you were born, the day you were reborn, and the day you realized why you were reborn. Reborn in Christ, that is. But I love it because a lot of times what happens is we go through life, and we don't really make our lives count. And so a lot of times what happens is we just walk through life, we go to the job, we clock in, we clock out, we think that that's the epitome of life. We make money, we go home, we go to sleep, we have this continual pattern of doing things, but a lot of times we think that that is void of the purpose that God has for our lives. And then we end up waking up 30, 40, 50, 60 years from now, maybe even on our deathbed, and say, man, what did my life amount to? Did it count for anything? We've been talking about that throughout this series. Talked about it one message in this series, leaving a legacy. And today I want to not just kind of speak on that a little bit more, but I want to go a little bit deeper as it relates to talking about your life's purpose and about you making your life count. That God put you here not so you could just clock in at a job. No, God put you here because he wants your life to count for something. Can I get a good amen? Come on, somebody. That's why God has put you here. He's put you here not so that way you can be counted, but so that way your life could count. That's what it's about. And that's what Jesus talks about here in our main text, Matthew 5, 13 through 16. And that's what we're going to spend some time looking at this topic today. Here's what Jesus says, Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16. He says, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world, a town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others. Everybody say others. Say it like you mean it. Say others. That they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Verse 16, one more time. In the same way, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father or glorify your Father in heaven. The things that God has given us was never meant for us to hold for ourselves. Like, sure, God blesses us so that way our needs can get met. He's faithful. He does that. But a lot of times we stop there. We think that what God has given to me was just simply to satisfy my pockets and to satisfy my needs. But God says there's something so much bigger and better than what I've given you that's just to be meant to have to meet your needs. No. There's a greater purpose at stake. That God has given you things, that God has given you influence, that God has given you authority, that God has given you abilities and skills, not just to benefit you, but also for you to serve others, for you to make a difference. It is very easy to go through the routines of life, to go through the daily grind of life and never to actually make an impact or make our lives count. Here's the question I want us to ask ourselves. Does the majority of my life revolve around me, or does it revolve around how I can make other people's lives better? Is it all about me, 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 me? Or am I thinking and approaching every day that I live with the mentality, how can I make a difference today? How can I encourage somebody today? How can I build somebody up today? Here's what Psalm 90:12 says. Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Teach us to number our days. When I was younger and heard that scripture preached, I never really understood what it meant until I started to grow in my faith and I heard it taught properly. And what the scripture is all about, when the writer says teach us to number our days, what he's really advocating for is helping us to understand that our days are meant to count for something. That our days weren't meant to be wasted. That our days should be filled with purpose, that our age should be filled with something greater than ourselves. I say it like this, that our lives won't count for anything until we make them count for something. Our lives will never count for anything until we make them count for something. Our lives were meant to count for something. Our lives were meant to mean something. And this is what Jesus is talking about here in this scripture. Jesus is preaching to his disciples in this particular, and he's giving them these principles. This sermon right here from Matthew 5 to Matthew 7 is typically called what's called the Sermon on the Mount. And the first part of chapter 5 is what we know as the Beatitudes, or these blessings. In other words, what it means to live a blessed life, which translates to happy. In other words, if you want to know what happiness looks like, look at what Jesus says in the beginning part of Matthew chapter 5. But then he doesn't stop there. He begins to shift from that and begins to kind of center the conversation and helping his disciples, which is really you and I, people who have put our faith and trust in Jesus, if you are a follower of Christ. He helps us to understand something very powerful that everybody, I believe, is always trying to figure out. What is my purpose? Do you not know that typically the highest sales of books do not come from books that are about, like, how to make a nice meal in 10 minutes? How to fix your car. It's not like fixing cars for dummies. No. One of the highest selling categories of books has to do with finding your purpose. And I've always found that to be intriguing and interesting. Because as much as we do in life, as much as we work in life, as many accomplishments as we that we achieve in life, there is still something on the inside of us that is screaming for a sense of purpose. Have y'all ever been there before? Well, you've been trying to figure out, man, what's the point of what I'm going through right now? What's the point of this job that I'm working? I know it's supposed to pay bills, but there's got to be something greater than this right now. What is the point of the struggle that I'm going through right now? What is the point of the agony that I'm feeling right now? What is the point of the pain that I'm experiencing right now? What is the point of the sickness and the calamity that I'm experiencing right now? I believe that that's a question that all of us are raising and oftentimes asking ourselves and asking other people. So we'll turn to Dr. Phil, we'll turn to Oprah, we'll go to the self-help section in Barnes & Noble to find some help in this area of finding a sense of purpose. But I'm glad to read here that Jesus says, you don't have to try to figure out what your purpose is by all these other sources. I got the clues about it. Y'all remember that show, Blue's Clues? Huh? Y'all remember that show? Y'all remember that show? Even if you didn't have kids, Blue's Clues was everywhere. It was, in my opinion, one of the most annoying children's shows ever created in human history. Until Peppa Pig came out. Actually, Peppa Pig is kind of good. I've watched that a few times while the kids were asleep just because I was binge watching. Like, man, Peppa Pig, man, this thing is this pretty good. Get some popcorn. Enough of my rant. But the thing that is interesting about even Blue's Clues was there were always these clues to something that was greater, this greater sense of purpose. There was these clues that were left to be able to solve problems. And Jesus is saying here today, hey, you don't have to go on a search. You don't have to go on a prowl to try to figure out why I've placed you here. All you got to do is come to me. All you got to do is come to me. All you got to do is come ask me. All you got to do is come seek me. That's what Jesus is advocating for here as he's teaching his disciples and preaching to his disciples. He wants us to begin to look at our lives in a bigger way than we do. You were never meant to just work a 9-to-5 job. You were not meant to just spend your life making money, living for yourself. You were meant for more than that. You were meant for more than that. And a lot of times what happens is we sell ourselves short because we think that life was all about that. Jesus says, I created you to stand out. I created you to make an impact. I created you to make your life count. Somebody say, make it count. Because I don't know about you, man, when it's all said and done for my life, when people are standing at my funeral, I don't want it to be said that, man, here's Edwin Jones, man. He had loads of potential, but he never made it count. Man, he had this opportunity. He had that opportunity. He could have went this place, and he could have did this, and he could have used all this to glorify God. But man, he just never made it count. And one of the things that is the most depressing things, I've done funerals. I've been to funerals where I've seen not just young people, but older people. And you always would get a sense at many of these funerals that, man, in the midst of all the great things that were being said about them and people who trusted in faith in Christ and would go home to be with Christ, I talked to plenty of family members and said, man, they had so much potential. They could have done so much more. And I believe that what Jesus is advocating for here is that we don't miss the opportunity that we have to make our lives count, but that we would make a difference. Y'all realize that Jesus did more in 3 years than people do in 120. And it wasn't just because he was the Son of God. It was because he had a laser focus on why he had came to earth. He had a laser focus on what he was supposed to do. Matter of fact, in Luke chapter 4, he says that I've come to open blinded eyes. I've come to unstop deaf ears. I've come so that way the cripple can now walk. I've come to set you free. I've come so that way the marriage that's on the rocks can be restored. I've come so that the person who's thinking about taking their life would realize that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that they don't have to give up because I have not given up on them. He had a laser focus on his purpose, which is why he did so much in 3 years than people can do in 120. And what he's trying to advocate for the disciples and as well as us here today, he says, I want you to have a laser focus. I want you to make your life count. And this has everything to do with generosity. It has everything to do with how you spend your life. I think it's interesting how we'll have all these different strategies for how we want to spend our money, how we want to spend our time. But when it comes to how we want to spend and invest our life, we don't usually think about it like that. And then what happens is we wake up one morning and we're trying to figure out, man, my life didn't lead to anything. And I don't know about you, I don't want that to be said about me. I want it to be said that this guy gave everything he had, heart and soul and mind. He gave everything he had to the cause of Christ. He gave everything he had to see more people saved. He gave everything he had to see more people connected to the local church and connected to biblical community so that way they could continue to grow in their faith. He gave everything he had, not just his time, but his resources. Not just his resources, but his abilities. Not just his abilities, but his thoughts. Everything. He gave it all. Don't you want that to be said about you? That you made your life count. And if you're going to make your life count, I believe Jesus helps us understand a few principles to understand what it means to make our life count. Number one is understanding that our lives are instruments. Notice what Jesus says in verses 13 through 15. He says this, "You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled on the foot." Then he says this, "You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill that cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house." Notice the two examples that Jesus uses here to help drive home this idea of purpose and fulfilling it. He says, "You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world." Now, immediately when you hear these two connections or these two words, things begin to shoot off in your brain. You think of salt. You think of good flavor. You think of preservation qualities. You think of adding salt to everything. Some of us in here, man, you love to add salt to everything. This past Thursday, salt was on yams. Depending on your culture, ham hock, turkey, chitlins, nasty. Oh, gosh. Turkey, every ham, just put salt on everything, right? How many of you guys just love good salt? Love to put salt on. Let's be honest, how many of you guys, I don't need to be eating a lot of salt, but I love the way it tastes on things, right? Jesus says, "You are the salt of the earth." In other words, you are meant to add flavor to a tasteless world. Salt also preserves. That's why when you get TV dinners, the sodium count is out the roof because it's filled with preservatives to keep the food somewhat fresh so that way 3 weeks from now you can still eat it and not have to worry about it going bad. Salt preserves things, but it also purifies things. What is Jesus saying when he says that we are the salt of the earth? He says, "I have strategically placed you here in this environment to begin to purify the environments that you live in, to begin to add value to the environments that you are in." But he doesn't stop there. He also says that you are the salt, you are the light of the world. And what does light do? Light begins to cast out darkness. It allows us to be able to see things for what they are. But here's the question I want to ask us. Who created the light in the first place? Genesis 1 tells us. He speaks and says, "Let there be light." Well, that's easy. God. Who created the salt? God himself. "The earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof." So if God created the salt and he created the light, and Jesus says, "You are the salt and you are also the light," what is Jesus helping us understand? That just as salt and light have a purpose, your life has a purpose. And just as God created the light and the salt, he also created you. So if you've ever been trying to figure out, man, where do I come from? If you believe in, you know, the hocus pocus theory that we evolved from apes, that is absolutely not true. Genesis 1 debunks that whole myth. God created you from nothing because he's God and he's good. He's that creative. You want to talk about a creative team? Father, Son, and Spirit, the greatest creative team ever. He created you for a purpose. And the only way you find out that purpose is by going to the one who created you. Here's what Isaiah 64, 8 says. "And yet, O Lord, you are our Father. We are the clay." Notice what Isaiah says here. "And you are the potter. We are all formed by your hand." God created you. God made you. He designed you. And he didn't make a mistake when he made you. You were in an accident when he made you. He made you for a purpose. Here's what Paul was saying in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. "We are God's workmanship created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." You've been created by God for a purpose. Well, what's that purpose, Pastor? I'll tell you in a moment. But you need to understand first that your life is like an instrument. And I'm not talking about a musical instrument. I'm talking about a tool in the hand of God. He created you beautifully. Psalm 139 says, I'm fearfully, I'm wonderfully made by God. God made you just the way you are. But when you don't know who you are in Jesus, when you don't know who God is, and you don't know that he made you for a purpose, what happens is you begin to become discontent with who you are, and you begin to sell yourself to people or sell yourself to things and minimize the value that God has placed on your life. He says, no, you have been made by me, and I have a beautiful purpose and a plan for your life that I've called you to fulfill. God made you for a purpose. You were never an accident. Tell the person beside you, you were never an accident. No, you were made for a purpose. But it's interesting that both things, salt and light, you know what they do? They add value to something. They add value to a certain situation that didn't have it previously. Salt adds more value to food. Light adds value to a dark room. What is Jesus helping us understand? That just as these things add value to other things, your life is meant to add value to this world. This broken, fallen, tragic world, Jesus has called you to add value to it, to make your life count. But let me help you understand something. You will never add value until you yourself know your value. Let me say it again. You will never add value until you know your value. And part of the reason why we are oftentimes frustrated it's because we're trying to find value in other things other than finding value in Jesus. And he's the only one who can give you value. And then the other side of that is that we're trying to contribute value to things that God may have never even called us to do. God says, you can't add value until you know your value. The only way you know your value is by knowing God and his purpose for our lives. Your value is not found outside of Jesus. You will never find your value and your purpose in a club, in a relationship, at a new job, at a new accomplishment. You will never find your value in any of those things. You will only find your value in Jesus. Why? Because he's the one who created you. It's interesting that Jesus would say here in Matthew chapter 5 that you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. But then in John chapter 8, Jesus says this, I am the light of the world. Well, which one is it, Jesus? In Matthew 5, you said that I'm the light of the world. But in John 8, you say that you're the light of the world. Here's what we got to understand what Jesus is really saying. He's not saying that you are the source. He says that you are the reflection. You are meant to reflect him as the eternal source of light. So now what happens is when people see your lives, they don't see you, they see Jesus. Is this making sense? This is how you make your life count. And oftentimes the reason why we experience letdowns in life is because we don't get this principle. We think of our lives as the source and really we're just a reflection. We think of ourselves as the original. No. We're the result of the original. But we have a great purpose. Our value and purpose isn't found outside of Jesus. And when you don't know your value, you'll sell yourself to anything. You'll be used up by anyone. Isn't it interesting as well in Matthew 5, Jesus says, if the salt loses its saltiness, what good is it for? It's good for nothing. Here's what he's saying. Outside of me, your life doesn't have any value. It's almost crazy. It's like he's saying, outside of me, your life doesn't really amount to too much. Matter of fact, he would say this in John chapter 15. I am the vine, you are the branches. Apart from me, you can do nothing. I preached a sermon a while back, years ago, said that the title of it was, Without Jesus, I Suck. That's my college ministry days. The principle was the same. Apart from Jesus, I can't do anything. My life doesn't amount to anything. Let's just be honest. How many times have you tried to do things totally opposite of God's will, and it did not amount to anything? Can I get a show of hands, people who will just be honest, because that's me. Your pastor is telling the truth right here. There's been plenty of times where I've stepped outside of the will of God thinking that I could do it in my own strength and in my own ability as if I'm the source, and it did not lead to anything but frustration and headache after headache after headache. But when you align yourself with the purpose of God, with the will of God, that is when things begin to flow in your life. That is when prayers begin to get answered. That is when you begin to see God's best begin to flow in your life. Jesus says, you are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. You have a purpose. But if you have a purpose outside of me, it's really no purpose at all. You don't have a purpose outside of me. We get frustrated because we're living our lives trying to have our lives fulfill a purpose that they were never meant to fulfill. And if there was one message that I would want, or one thing I would want you to get from this message more than anything else, is stop trying to have your life fulfill a purpose that God never created it to fulfill in the first place. Right? When you look at all these things up here on the stage, I'm going to use some of these things as props, right? You see this? This is a speaker. We call it a monitor. It helps the people who are on the stage to be able to hear. Right? Its purpose is to project sound. Right? You don't have to have a degree to know this. Right? Okay, cool. So its purpose is to project sound. If I try to warm up food with this, it's not going to work. Unless it catches on fire and then I roll some food over it. Right? How silly would it look for me to come in here with a plate of food and put it in front of the monitor and say, hey, warm me up some food. You'd be like, man, what's wrong with you? You smoking something? You're creepy. You're weird. Because that's not his purpose. That's not his function. The minute you begin to take something outside of its original purpose, it does not fulfill what it was intended to fulfill in the first place. And the reason why many of us in here are frustrated with our lives is because you are trying to get your life to do something that Jesus never intended for it to do. You can clap there. I got one little clap right there. Appreciate it. A lot of times, man, we look at our lives and say, why is my life not working? It's because you're trying to get it to do something it was never intended and created to do. Do you really expect a microphone to serve as a car? Doesn't work like that. It has a purpose. And anytime you take something outside of its original purpose, it will never have value. But the minute this is being functioning at the level and the capacity that it was meant to function at in the first place, that is when you see the most results. And I believe that God is saying the same thing to you and I today. If you want your life to work, you need to come to me because I'm the source of it all. I'm the creator of it all. I got the instruction manual on this whole thing. And if you want to know how your life works, come to me. And I believe that many of us in here, some of us in here today, man, this is your day. Jesus is saying, come to me. And maybe today you need to say, Jesus, I'm ready. I want to give you my life. I want my life to be in alignment with your purpose. Let me say it like this, that what God gave you, your life, that's his gift to you. How you use it becomes your gift to him. How you use your life is what you think of God. How you spend your life, how you invest your life, is how you view God. And so if you just waste your life doing all these things that have nothing to do with God, it's a reflection of how you see God, which then impacts how you see yourself. Because if you don't see God correctly, you will never see yourself correctly, which also means you will never see people correctly. So what happens is we end up using people and loving things versus rather than loving people and using things. That's why you have things like, you know, human trafficking, because people of things and use people when they actually should be loving people and using things. And what God calls us to do is he says, I want you to align yourself with my purpose. Your life is an instrument. It is a tool that is meant to do one thing, which is the second point, to point people to me. That's it. I just saved you guys some counseling money. Going to spend all this money on books, talking to psychiatrists, trying to figure out what's my purpose. I mean, still go talk if you need it. But Jesus says, you know what your purpose is in life? To let your light shine so that people would see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's your purpose. That's your purpose. But Pastor, that doesn't really sound too attractive. You know why it doesn't sound attractive? It's because you and I are attractive to doing things that have nothing to do with God. And then what happens is we go to God and we ask God to clean up our mess. And God is saying today, I want to change the way you look at things. I want to change the way you live your life. I don't want you to live your life for yourself anymore. No, I want you to be generous with your life in such of a way where you begin to make your life count so that others would see your good deeds. That's generosity. Others would see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. That's it. You know why God has created you? It's so that way you can know his love and show his love. To know it, to receive it for yourself through Christ, but then also to show it. Which is what he's saying here. So my second point, if you're taking notes, is this. That your life is not just an instrument, but it's also an influence. It's an influence. That's why he says, let your light shine before others that they may see your good deeds. Praise your Father in heaven. Jesus teaches us that light is most effective when it is placed in a visible position. God intentionally places you and I in situations to have the greatest impact. Some of us have been trying to figure out, why do I work with the craziest of people? You want to know why? Because he wants you to be a light there. Why do so many people seem to find me who are in need? You want to know why? Because God blessed you so you can be a blessing. Why do people come to me with all of their problems? I got problems of my own. Who am I going to go to? Why do they come to you? Because God has given you wisdom that he wants to give to you, give to them through you. He's put you there to be a light. And he says, don't cover it up. Shine it. Make a difference. Make your life count. That's what he's telling you to do this morning. Make your life count. Legacy next Sunday when we bring our offering together and give to God above and beyond what we normally give. You know what that's about? It's about shining the light. It's about making our life count. It's not about the bridge church. It's about the kingdom of God. It's about seeing more lives change for the glory of God. That's what it's about. It's about saying that on December 3rd, 2017, me and my family, we are setting this aside. We are giving our best to God above and beyond normally what we give so that other people can come into a relationship with him, so that people who are on the street can experience hope, so that people who have yet to enter into the family of God, the kingdom of God, can experience new life. We want to shine a light, y'all. When I look at Hampton, when I look at Newport News, when I look at Norfolk, when I look at Williamsburg, when I look at Virginia Beach, Chesapeake, I see a lot of brokenness. I see a lot of hurting people. But I also see these communities filled with the people of God that God has called to shine a light so that way they would see their good deeds, so that way people would praise God in heaven and say, there is a God who actually cares about me. There is a God who actually loves me. There is a God who actually has a plan and a purpose for my life. There is a God. I believe that that's what God wants to do through us this season. That he wants us to make our lives count. Let me say this and I get ready to finish. Here's what 2 Corinthians 5 and 20 says. Paul says, we are Christ's ambassadors. God is making his appeal through us. We are his ambassadors, y'all. What does an ambassador do? An ambassador goes on behalf of his or her leader and shares a report, and shares a message from that leader. And you have a message to give this world. What is that message? That Jesus loves you, that Jesus proved that by dying on the cross for your sins so that you could be a part of the family of God and have a purpose from God. That no matter what you've done, no matter what your past has been, no matter how ugly it is, no matter how bad it is, no matter how dark it is, that God has a plan and a purpose for your life. We are his ambassadors, y'all. God says, I want to send you out to Hampton, to Virginia Beach, to Chesapeake, to Williamsburg. I want to send you out to people who don't look like you, who don't vote like you, who don't talk like you, who don't live in the same neighborhood as you, who don't think like you, who may disagree with you on everything in your life, including your mama. I don't know why I said that. But I'm sending you out to them because I want them to hear about the goodness that I want to give them. Tap. Share. Be generous. Let me say it like this. How we live our lives is either pointing people to God or away from God. When you think about your life today, through your generosity, through your living, through your attitude, through your mentality, through your thoughts, are you pointing people to Jesus or away from him? Because there's no gray area here. Either my life is lifting up the name of Jesus and helping people see him, or it's not. Does my complaining lead people to Jesus or turn people off about Jesus? Does my negativity, you know, draw people closer to Christ, or is it repelling them from Christ? It's kind of a self-explanatory answer. What is it doing? What is my life amounting to? How does my life look? How is my life shaping the perspective of other people to come to know Christ? He says, let your light shine. Let me say it like this. Are you a thermometer or a thermostat? Which one are you? Y'all know the difference, right? Let me help us understand in case you don't. A thermometer just simply tells the temperature. It is simply encompasses its surroundings. It doesn't impact anything around it. It changes based upon the temperature and the climate of the room. It fluctuates. Is that you? Do you fluctuate with your faith? Do you fluctuate with your generosity? Do you and I fluctuate with words of encouragement? Or are you the thermostat? The one that says, I don't fluctuate when I get in certain situations. That's why Paul says, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. I'm not a thermometer. God calls us to be a thermostat, where we begin to transform the climate of the room, where we begin to impact our surrounding community. So our community doesn't impact us. No, Jesus says, I want you to go out there and impact it. I want you to go into the community and make such a massive impact for my kingdom that people have no other choice but to acknowledge it. I want you to be so crazy with your generosity towards people, towards giving to the local church, towards being a blessing to other people, where people don't have any other choice but to ask the question, why are you so generous? Why are you so nice? Why do you smile so much? It's because of the generosity of our God. The old church will say, when I think about the goodness of Jesus and all he's done for me, my soul shouts hallelujah. And when you begin to think about the faithfulness of God in your own life, when you begin to think about how God has opened up doors in your own life, if I were to give every single person in here a microphone, you could be able to share a testimony of what God has done in your life, how he paid bills, opened up doors, you with things, did this, did that, and you didn't deserve it, did not earn it. It was strictly because of his grace. He says, I want you to go out there and tell other people about what I've done for you here. That's how I want you to live your life, making it count. Romans 5 and 8 says it like this: God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Simply means you didn't deserve anything that Jesus did for you. You and I were headed to a Christless eternity called hell, but thanks be unto God that God intervened and sent his son to bridge the gap. Great name for a church, by the way. That's what Jesus did. And he says, and I want you to take that story and I want you to tell others about it. I want you to tell this story through your generosity. I want you to make your life count. I want you to be the salt and light, so that when people see your good deeds, they praise your Father in heaven. That's what I want you to live for. That's what Jesus is getting after. Man, you guys can come on up. If you're a follower of Jesus, meaning you believed in Christ, I'm not just talking about like you're just some church person who comes to church. No. I'm talking about you truly have believed in Jesus. You believe in what he did for you on the cross. You believe that you are a sinner and that Jesus came to save you from the penalty of your sin, which is eternal separation from God, but he paid the bill for you. And you believed in his resurrection. If you believe that, that means you've been impacted by Jesus. It's awesome. Bless God for it. That's not the end of the story. Jesus says, I've impacted your life so that I can make an impact through your life. Let me say it like this. You've been impacted by God so you can make an impact for God. That's it. And you've been praying and trying to figure out, God, what am I supposed to be doing with my life? Here's the question I would ask you to ask yourself. Are you making an impact with your life? Because what I've come to find out, the times where I was most frustrated with my life was always devoid of fulfilling the purpose of God in my life. It was all about me and what I could benefit. I wasn't thinking about God, how can you get glory out of my life? I guarantee you that when you begin to shift your perspective, when you begin to think about things differently, when you begin to realize that God has made an impact on you, you will then move to a place where you let God make an impact through you. And because God has been generous to us in Christ, we want to be generous. We want to pay it forward. We want to make our life count. That's what it's about. God has placed you and I strategically in this world for such a time as this to make an impact. There's a scripture in Chronicles that says, and the sons of Issachar discerned the times and they knew exactly what to do. That principle is the same for you and I as believers. That we're called to discern these times. What are these times? They're dark. People are hopeless. People are lost. People are frustrated. People are hurting. This is the perfect time to shine a light. To be generous. To make our life count. I said this a few weeks ago in the beginning of our series. I'm going to say it again. I'm going to say it next week when we close it out. Giving your life to Jesus changes you. But using what you have for Jesus changes others. And it was never meant just to have for myself. It was meant for me to make an impact. And so with every head bowed, every eye closed today, here's my question to you. Would you let Jesus make an impact through your life? Would you truly be salt and light? Would you make your life count? Would you make a difference? Would you begin to think about, God, what is it that you want to do with my life? How can you use my life for your glory and for the good of others? And I believe that before we even pray corporately, I think we need to pray individually and repent and ask God to forgive us for being focused on ourselves and not thinking about how he wants to use our lives to reach other people. That's what we need to repent of. So Father, we pray and we ask that you would forgive us for being focused on ourselves, for being self-centered, thinking that you saved us just for ourselves. No, you saved us because you want to save other people as well. So today, Lord, we give you our lives. And we want to use our lives for your glory. We want to make it count. In Jesus' name. While every head is bowed, every eye is still closed. If you're here this morning, and you're saying, Pastor, this is me. I'm struggling to try to figure out my purpose. I'm struggling to try to figure out what I'm supposed to be doing with my life. And I've heard you say that my life will never have purpose unless I'm in Christ. Unless I come to Jesus, the one who's created me, the one who's made me. And today I want that to happen. I want to come to God today. I come to him broken. I come to him lost. I come to him frustrated, depleted. And I need to give my life to him. I want to receive my purpose. I want to know my purpose. If that's you this morning, I want you to repeat these words after me. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. And I believe that you raised back to life so that I can have new life and have it more abundantly. Thank you for saving me. Thank you for giving me purpose. In Jesus' name. And every person said amen. I'm going to ask us to stand to our feet. We're going to dismiss in a moment. But I want us just in this moment just to have a few seconds just of worship where we align ourselves with God.